It's a privilege to share the word this evening. And before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you as we can come together this evening, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, God. We can enter your presence with joy, Lord, and with an expectation, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive, God. And as we come and sit under your word, Lord, you truly speak into our hearts tonight, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd breathe on every word, Lord, and make it alive, God, and in our being, Lord, and change us and make us more like Jesus, God. And we submit to your word tonight, Lord. And Lord, make our hearts soft to receive every word, Father, as good seed, Father. Thank you that it is incorruptible, Lord. And we trust you, Lord, to be transformed tonight, Lord, and for these good seeds to bear fruit in our lives to your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Sure, it's a long time last when I had all the pastors sitting in front listening to me. So please pray all those guys that I texted before. That's not the people laughing. In any case, has anybody ever experienced you praying about something and then you believe you hear from God, which is always great, and then what happens afterwards feels like it's completely contradictory to what you just heard from God? Ever happened to anybody? One, two people. Good. So, you know, often, you know, we pray, we hear from the Lord. So often, you know, and what I'm talking about is when you hear something about where God is taking you in terms of vision and direction. Because those are the best words. Don't you agree? Because you're, like, excited and God is showing you something about what's coming, and it's amazing. If you haven't had any of those, I want to encourage you to come forward afterwards, because God does want to speak to us. Amen. But, you know, and sometimes after a word like that, everything seems to happen in something, you know, everything seems to contradict that word. It's happened to me once or twice, and it's really a difficult thing. And we're going to have a look at that tonight in a way. And, you know, we find ourselves in that situation, and we think, but can this be God? This is what I'm going through. Is it? How does this fit together? How does the word of God and the promise of God fit together with this thing that I'm in now, this situation, this difficult season, or this change of events that I didn't see coming? How does it kind of fit together? Is God still in this thing? And, you know, we on our planning week, end of last year, we did this exercise where at one stage, one person had to be blindfolded and had to rely on other people directing them to do certain things, etc. And, you know, when you do team building and stuff, you often do that. Have anybody done that? When you have to be blindfolded and you have to rely on someone else, it's a bit scary, don't you think? And I've noticed that even in a relatively safe environment where nothing much can go wrong, when the instruction doesn't make sense, we just ignore it. Have you noticed that? We just say, okay, now I'm just going to leave that one. I'm just going to, okay, next, you know, type of thing. When it doesn't make sense or it doesn't kind of fit in our paradigm, we didn't expect it, we just kind of ignore it and kind of just do something else or carry on. And often that's the same when we hear from the Lord, you know, when it doesn't make sense or then we ignore that. And this evening we're going to look at Joseph, one of my favorite guys. And they made a movie of his life, about his life, which is quite amazing. You should check it out. Apparently I haven't seen it lately, but it's very good. And we're going to look at what he went through and just take some very good principles from that. Okay. Read with me. Before we do that, a bit of background. Joseph was the man. Okay, he was one of the youngest of his brothers. They were a big family, 12 brothers. More than one mom, so don't worry about that. Whoa, sorry. Should I move this thing? Up, down, middle, up. Okay. And he was the second youngest or something. But he was, for some reason, his dad's favorite. And his dad kind of didn't make a secret of it. So his brothers didn't like him for that. And his dad got him the best suit available at the time, which apparently was this colorful thing. I don't know if it would go well these days, but apparently those days that was the thing, you know. And he had this cool robe, and he was just the man. And then he was gifted as well. The Lord blessed him. He got dreams and visions and things, and he couldn't shut up about them. And you know, everybody was a bit irritated about it. But he was clearly gifted. He was clearly going somewhere. Have you ever seen somebody like that? It's obvious God's favor is on their life, and they just rub your nose in it all the time, and you're like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then, you know, it just keeps on. The Lord just blesses them, and you kind of, yeah. You've never done that, I know. But, this guy, you know, the Lord's blessing him. And then let's read about some of his dreams he's had, and then he kind of tells everybody about it, which is, okay, let's read what happens here. Genesis 37. I'm going to read quickly because there's a lot to read tonight. So he said to them, now this is to his brothers, please hear this dream which I have dreamt. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Now it's the second youngest, okay? And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. And said, look, I've dreamt another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamt? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So we see this young, zealous guy on fire for the Lord. The Lord has given him a vision, and the Lord's clearly gifted him. And he's excited about life. And he's going somewhere. He's dad's favorite, although his dad kind of didn't like this dream, but otherwise he was kind of the bee's knees. And clearly going somewhere. The Lord has called him for leadership, it seems. You know, he's called him to rule, and he must have been really excited about this. And we see, you know, if I was Joseph, to be honest, I would have had it all planned out. Maybe studies, commerce, work a few years, start my own business, do an MBA, you know, something like that. Then go into local government, maybe law career, local government, then stand, you know, president or something, you know, something like that. All figured out, ready to run, full of confidence. He's the man of power for the hour, anointed, appointed, nothing can stand in his way. And I'm sure he felt confident that he could do what God has called him to do. And we often, there's nothing wrong with this, guys. When we're young in the Lord specifically, we tend to be a bit arrogant. And we see that in his life. And we can see that there was pride in there, and he was a bit arrogant, and kind of just the way he dealt with his brothers as well, and just the way they hated him tells us kind of a bit of a story there. And a bit of a pain in the butt, you know, if you think about it. But then I think he must have had it all figured out in his mind. And then we see a bit of a turn of events, and his brothers kind of can't take it any longer, and they decide they're going to just get rid of this guy. And then luckily they don't kill him, because they were about to. And in Genesis 37:28, then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, which they chucked him into, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. So now we see this kind of must have bowled him. Middle stump. You know, he's on his way to, you know, glory to glory, going for God, full of faith, and now this somebody takes the rug out under him, and he doesn't know what's up or down, he doesn't know what's happening. What's this thing? Where's God now? I mean, he's sold, he's gone to the worst possible state as a human being. He's been sold as a slave. His worth is absolute worth. His life is worth absolutely nothing. And he's on his way to Egypt. He has to learn a new language. I mean, it's crazy. You know, what must have been going on in his head? You know, what happened to all those promises? My plans? I was going to go to university, you know, and now I'm sitting in this, you know. And this is one of those situations. He's got these plans and visions and dreams, and then suddenly everything goes pear-shaped and goes the other way. Had God forsaken him? Can this be God? I'm sure he didn't even ask that question, you know. It was just, no, this is the devil, you know, and this is, you know, this can't be God. And is God confused? Did God forget about the dreams, you know? And then often, you know, in a situation like that, we get upset with the Lord. I know you guys don't, but, you know, you get angry with God and you say, Lord, you ask questions and you doubt about a lot of things, and because things don't seem to make sense. And if I'll try to calculate how long he was a slave for, but I know it seems to be at least 10 years. So he had a lot of time to think about these things while he was learning Egyptian. What do they speak there? But, you know, but the amazing thing was, even as a slave, God gave him favor. And even as a slave, he experienced the presence of God, and he experienced God as being faithful. And we're going to look at some of the things that he must have gotten to know about God in that time. And that's something I've experienced as well. When we serve people, as he had to do, when you serve people, you get to know God in a different way. And I just felt, as I was preparing, this is a word for somebody, that when, you know, God loves people, you know, I mean, and when we serve people, we connect with God in a way, in a very special way. And I want to just throw that out there. If you have an opportunity to serve somebody, take it with both hands, because it's from God, and because he wants to show himself to you in a special way. He wants to show his heart to you. Okay, that's for free. Okay? So you got to know God in a specific way. We're going to look at that in a moment. And things are kind of almost looking up, although I'm sure he thought things can't get worse than this. Okay, now he's like at the bottom of the gene pool. He's a slave. And although the Lord's prospering, he's still a slave. Things can't really get much worse. And then we see that they do indeed. Genesis 37. I'm just going to skip over a few verses and read this bit here. Genesis 39 from verse 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. This is kind of weird. These days they wouldn't use language like that. Okay, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her, to be with her, or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her, in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and he cried out with, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did not did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor." Okay, let's recap. So you thought it couldn't get worse, and then it just gets worse again. Now this is poor Joseph, a good boy now. He's learned some lessons. He's serving God faithfully. He's doing the right thing. He's ignoring this temptation, and he's really... I can imagine this lady must have been a real thorn in his flesh, and he's just... he probably was praying, "God, please deliver me from this thing." Or just, you know, he's praying about the situation. This woman won't let him go, and doing the right thing, resisting temptation, warring in the spirit, you know, doing all that stuff, and doing every good Christian thing that you can do. And what happens? He gets chucked in prison. That's the only thing that could have gone worse, you know, from being a slave to a slave in prison. Okay, and again, where is God? Where are all the promises? Where are the dreams? Where, you know, I should have been busy with my MBA now, and now I'm sitting in a prison. I'm still a slave, but now I'm in prison. When I come out of here, I've got a record, criminal record, not good for any career in politics. Any case, you know, so it's going worse. It's terrible. You know, he's finding himself in this terrible place, and. But we see very, very amazingly at the end, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. And favor is, grace means undeserved favor, unmerited favor. So even there, the Lord's grace was sufficient for him in that place. And you know, look a little bit more at that. But what happened then is, you know the story. He kind of still kind of keeps his wits about him. By the grace of God, he doesn't turn his back on God. And he just kind of keeps at it. And the Lord gives him favor, and he gets put in charge, or like in charge of the prison. He's still a prisoner, but he kind of, the chief guy there puts him in charge. And then, you know the story, he interprets some dreams for people. The one guy gets out, the one guy gets killed, and then 2 years down the line, now he's been in prison at least 2 years, I reckon it must be about three. And he had a lot of time to think, and then things change. You know the story, Pharaoh has a dream. This guy remembers this Hebrew guy that interprets dreams, and he gets pulled out of the prison. And right there, the anointing comes through, and the anointing of God on his life, and everything just comes together. Pharaoh is so impressed with what he says, this gifting on his life, and his kind of suggestion of what they should do and everything, interpretation, that he appoints him second command over all of Egypt. And, you know, we see this incredible... It must have been within a few days, within a few weeks that this happened. And from absolutely nowhere, can you imagine this? Headline tomorrow morning, ex-con in the White House. You know? In any case, you know, we see this incredible place where he goes from one extreme to the other. And having been faithful through all that completely ridiculous stuff that happened, we see God take him out of there, and suddenly the picture starts making sense. All those dreams start making sense. What happens is there's the years of plenty, and then the years of the famine, and his brothers and his family come to buy grain, and they get reunited, and God's word comes to pass, his dream, because they end up buying before him as the second in charge of Egypt. And all these incredible things we see happening, see God's plan come to pass. And you know, I'm going to look now at a few of those key things that kind of bring us through situations like this. And the key thing for me is, when you're in that pit, in that prison, if you don't know your God, if you don't have any rock, any stable thing to stand on, it's going to be a very difficult place. And you're going to end up probably running away, turning your back on God, or kind of, forget this, I'm going to make another plan. Maybe this Buddha guy, maybe that's the better bet, you know. If you don't know who this God is that he's been talking, who he is and what he's all about, it's going to be near impossible. And let's look at a few of the things that Joseph had to think about when he was in prison. Let's just end off with this verse in Genesis 45, when he kind of met with his brothers. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not only you, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And you see this incredible understanding that this is kind of, he's all through this, he's kind of seen this, he's seen God's plan come together. It wasn't always, you know, visible, but now you can see that, yes, God is true to his word. Yes, God is faithful, and yes, he has put me here for a reason. He understands that it wasn't just bad luck or the devil and all that stuff. It was God had never forsaken him. God was with him all the way. And now he can see God's plan come together. In that movie, Joseph, that animation, France, hey? No, Prince of Egypt is about Moses, but, hey? Say again? No, that one. Don't worry. This is, yes, it is the animation about the life of Joseph. And in it, Franz was saying, there's this song about the tapestry, and I remember it actually, and it talks about how each of us are a thread in this huge tapestry, and unless you kind of step back and see the bigger picture. Is it Moses?
It's in Genesis, it doesn't matter.
Okay, no, I was misinformed. I repent.
It's not in Genesis, sorry.
You know, but it's, you know, his life is this strand, this thread in this huge tapestry, and unless you kind of step back and see it from God's perspective, it's not going to make any sense. You know, it's the thread is going through there, it's being pulled and twisted and changed color here and there, and it's crazy. And unless you kind of step back, it doesn't make any sense. And here we see, you know, things coming together. He steps back and he kind of sees what God is all about and what's happening. And in times like this, if we have an understanding of God's character, if we kind of open our hearts to really experience Him for who He is, if we allow and we take a hold of that love that He has for us and who He is, that love will drive out every doubt and every fear and every lie of the enemy that wants to nail you in those difficult times, and kind of get rid of that. And when we then operate out of faith instead of operating out of fear, we can really see God for who He is. We can see even when we don't see the bigger picture yet, we can see Him in every situation. We can see His provision. We can see that He has gone before us. We can expect to see Him in every situation we're in. So I'm going to quickly run through some of these truths, because this is just the introduction. Okay. Firstly, John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When you're in the pit, okay, in the prison, know that Jesus, God, is truth. Okay, He's not, doesn't tell the truth. Yes, He does. But He cannot lie. God is the truth. He is truth. Okay, Jesus is truth. So it's really a place of having a confidence in His word. Because surely when we're in that situation, the enemy comes and says, "No, God is a liar. That stuff was all just to get you excited for nothing." You know, the enemy wants to attack us with all kinds of deceptions and lies. And we have to have a confidence that God is true to His word. His word is truth. He is truth. And when everything else, when the wheels come off, we can stand on His word. We can stand on His promise. We can know that whatever happens, this remains. Whatever happens, I can hang on to this. And guys, there's been many times when I had to it's, you know, when it's a moment of where everything goes wrong, or in a season where everything is going tough, where there has to just be a place where you say, whatever happens, I know this one thing. I know God is truth. I know I can rely on His word. I know if everything goes wrong, I can hold on to this. His promises are true, and He's faithful. I'll get to that. Secondly, First John 4 verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is love. Okay? We looked at that last week as well. And that knowing His love, experiencing it in a real way, and not in going beyond that and believing that He is love, believing that even when we can't see it, if we see what the Word says about it. You know, Franz said it so well this morning. He said that, you know, all of humanity rebels against God, and we're all part of that. We've rebelled against Him. And how does He respond? He sends His only Son as a sacrifice for us. I mean, if we're all like, "What? Is that crazy?" Yes. And that's the love of God. It's completely beyond anything human love can conjure up. It's perfect love, because God is love. And if you know if the enemy comes at you and says God is kind of barely tolerating you, and he doesn't really like you, or whatever, you know that this is true. God is love, and He has demonstrated His love for us. God is good. Psalm 107:15, David writes, "So that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Every good thing that you can imagine comes from God. Every positive thing that we experience is from Him. He is the source of every good and perfect gift, as the Word says. You know, there's often you're in a situation where just things go wrong. I've been there, and I should just say, "Lord, I know You are good. I know whatever happens, I know this is true. And I can look for the goodness of God in any situation, because this does not change. even though Joseph is in prison or he's being falsely accused or whatever, he's being sold as a slave, you know, just holding on to the truth that God is good. And that is kind of an absolute. People don't like absolutes. If you notice these days, it's politically incorrect to speak about absolutes. You know, it's is this and that. In any case, people love gray areas these days. But this is one of these absolutes. God is truth, and He is good, and He is love. And when everything else fails, you can know, this is the truth, so I can calibrate everything else in my life on this truth, that God is good. And He loves me. And He is truth. God is faithful. Romans 8, 35, 39. We've looked at this last because who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's faithful. His love for us remains the same. You know, that feeling of being forsaken, God has dropped me, He's forgotten about me, He's somewhere else, but He's not here. You know, that's not the truth. The enemy wants us to believe that we can't approach God, either because He's far away or because we've messed up. But God will never forsake you. He will never leave us. Even in that pit, you know, remember these prisons that we're talking about in those days are not the Holiday Inn prisons they have these days. Okay, that was a real thing. Okay, although in South Africa, they're not like that. Okay, but God remains faithful. And we can, you know, there have been moments in my life when you think, that I'm going to die now. Now I rolled a car once. And I remember just going around like this, putting my hands against the ceiling of the car, whatever. And it's funny, because just in that moment, there's just peace, you know. God is with me. And He will never leave me. I had the same feeling the first time I did skydiving. Before jumping out of the airplane. Any case, but you know, you joke about it, but there's like moments like that when you just know, you know, God is with me. You know, and if I got to die now, then that's okay. But just that knowing that nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can come between me and God. Only my will can. You know, only if I choose to separate myself from God. But nothing else can. The thing is, that's just how I then receive it. But the thing is, His love for me stays the same, and His faithfulness towards us stays the same. And finally, God celebrates us. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God delights Himself in you. He celebrates you. He is excited about you. He is excited when Joseph goes to prison. Okay. I grew up in a society where if you know your cousin in prison, nobody talks about him. I'll have to go and repent towards my uncle. No, I'm just kidding. But there's, you know, this joke about the guy, the cousin in prison, and nobody talks about it. It's like this one rugby team in South Africa. No, in any case, got to focus. You know, God celebrates Joseph because he, even though in a worldly context, he's an absolute loser and he's going nowhere, God knows where He's taking him. He knows what He's prepared for him. He knows what He has created him for. In the same way, you know, we often think that our qualifications and our pedigree mean something, but God celebrates you because He knows where you're going, because He knows what He's prepared for you and where He's taking you. And even when we are hopeless, how's this? God believes in you. Is it a bit weird? No, I believe in God. How's it? God believes in you. Because He knows what He's put in you. He knows the price that He's paid for you. And He's excited about you. And He's not that excited dad that sits in the chair in his office at home, and when you bring your report, you got to see at last. He just looks up and says, okay, cool, let me, you know, carry on, I'll speak to you later. It's not like that. He rejoices. He dances over you. He sings, and he shows it, okay? He's loud about it. It's a big party in heaven, okay? When every person that gets saved, there's a rejoicing going on. God celebrates us. And He rejoices over us. And now we get to start it off with Joseph, the guy full of dreams. Okay, and now we see a different Joseph at the end, yeah, in Genesis 50. Now, Jacob, who was called Israel, then died. And now the brothers were a bit nervous because they were thinking maybe Joseph was kind of just holding on to his grudge, and where the moment their dad died, he's going to take them all out, you know, because they... And now we see him kind of just reassuring his brothers. They basically came down and bowed down before him, okay? Verse 18, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? In other words, please don't bow down before me. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. So again, coming from a place of complete, you know, youthful arrogance and full of pride and full of himself, he comes to this place of complete humility, saying, guys, please, don't do that. I think when he was a boy, after that first dream, he and the guys bowed, he said, yeah, cool, bit lower there, please, you know. You know, full of arrogance, pride, confident in himself. Now, coming from a place of confidence in himself, arrogance, full of, yes, I'm going to make it happen. Now he's humble and he's full of confidence. He's full of faith in God. Full of faith that God is able to fulfill his purpose. Coming from full of confidence in himself that he was able to fulfill God's purpose. Now he's full of confidence, full of faith in God that God is able to fulfill his purpose. That God is able to complete the work that he has started. That God is able to finish what God has started in his life. You know, it's easy when we look back. That's why God gave us all these amazing examples in Scripture. Because when you're in it, it's crazy. You don't see the bigger picture. 2020, you know, hindsight is 2020, as I say. Perfect. You can see everything. And I just noticed something this afternoon. You know, God called Joseph for a specific purpose. Okay, now again, I think he had it all figured out, how he's going to hone his leadership skills in business or in law or whatever, and then he can be a ruler, and what he saw, the vision that God gave him. And often we think like that. What degree must I study to do this thing God has called me to do? What job must I do? But surely he didn't think being a slave and a prisoner is going to do the trick. You know, but if you look carefully, God takes him to being a slave, and in Potiphar's house, he gets put in charge of the household. So there, God, as a slave, yes, God, there's opportunity for him to serve, there's opportunity for him to grow in his skills, there's opportunity for him to get to know partnership with God in daily life and managing people. So it's practical. You know, even in prison, again, he gets put in charge. Because obviously he's gifted. But there are going to be opportunities for us, even in the completely weirdest situation you can imagine. God is preparing us and he's helping us and he's giving us opportunity to grow in that what he's prepared for us. And often imagine if Joseph gotten all upset and depressed because he's a slave now and he's just sat in the corner and did his little thing and kind of missed all those opportunities. But no, he took hold of all of them. You know, often we get so consumed with our circumstance that we don't see what God is doing in that situation. But God had this incredible purpose for him. God's school of opportunity to serve and lead others, even in serving them, is better than any MBA or whatever or qualification that you can think of. And we see this incredible place where God, because he is faithful and because he's kept his heart soft to hear God's voice and to see God's plan, he gets catapulted from zero to hero in an incredible way, from absolutely nowhere, like I said, convict to the White House in 2 days, you know, or something like that. And instead of putting his confidence in himself, now he knows he can put his trust in God. Now, when he's in that situation, he knows his God. He can put his confidence in him, and he can put his trust in him. John, 1 John chapter 3:16-18. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We know God's love because of the way he's demonstrated it to us. He's given his son, he's laid his life down for us. And often, even though we're in a situation that we don't know how, we don't know where God is going with us, there's a place that we have an opportunity to lay down our lives for those around us, to serve people, to serve that terrible boss that you can't get along with, you know, that guy that irritates you at work, and that neighbor that kicked your dog the other day when you thought you weren't looking. And I'm just kidding. But there's such an amazing place. And I don't know why I'm repeating this, but I really feel that God wants to show us opportunities to serve people in our community, in church. And I just sense God wants to really reveal himself to you in an amazing way when we serve others. If you could stand with me and I pray for some people. Now, we've been talking a lot about grace for the past few months. And basically what tonight is about, that the grace of God doesn't look the way we think it looks always. And the provision of God sometimes comes in a package that we don't like. And we don't recognize often. It's, you know, for Joseph, he was thinking the best provision would be this, the best university and degree, whatever that meant in those days. But God's provision and perfect, you know, plan came in the form of slavery and imprisonment. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have seen that coming. Okay, and the thing tonight is that if we see God for who he is, if we open our hearts and allow his love to get rid of the doubts and the fears, we see him for who he is. We see his love for us. We see His grace toward us. We see His heart toward us, and we are able to see His provision. We are able to see His grace in every situation, whether it comes in a completely different form than you expect it or not. We are able to recognize it and grab a hold of it, and that's what I have in my heart for this evening, for us to come to a place where we say, Lord, I believe that You love me, and I believe that you are with me, and I want to see You for who You are. I want to see Your face. I want to get to know You, to a place that I can recognize Your hand in every situation. I can see Your provision. I can recognize it for what it is. I can recognize Your grace. I can recognize Your provision, even when it looks different to what I expected it to. And I can take a hold of it, both hands. And I can thank You for it. And I can rejoice. And I can get out of depression and out of heaviness and out of guilt. And I can grab a hold of that which You've made provision for me for. I just felt there's a word for somebody that said, God says, give him the benefit of the doubt. When there's doubt, give God the benefit of the doubt, okay? When you're scared, give Him the benefit of the doubt. Even better, stand on the Word of God. When there's doubts and fears, take the Word and stand on the Word of God, because that cannot be shaken. And He remains true to His Word. He remains true to His promise. And I know tonight there are many journeys that are happening. This journey of Joseph is a bit of an extreme one, okay? Hopefully nobody out on bail yet tonight. If you are, nothing against you. But we are on different journeys, okay? Different paths. And I don't know if you're in a season where God has already taken you from your prison or from your slavery. But wherever you find yourself at, I want to pray for people tonight. People that don't... kind of, if you're feeling you don't know what God is doing and you don't know the time and the season, I feel God wants to show us, because He wants to reveal what He has prepared. I believe God doesn't want us to kind of feel in the dark all the time. Yes, there are going to be seasons like that, and you have to really trust Him. But I believe if God wants to show some people that they would know the time and the season that you're in. And then I believe there are people here tonight that you feel God has long forgotten about you. You're in the pit there, you're in slavery in Egypt or somewhere. People talk a different language. You can't even understand. It's like nothing makes sense. And often this goes with heaviness and even depression and stuff. And if that's you tonight, I want to pray with you, because I know God has made a way for you. And we don't see it often when we're there. So we're going to pray for you tonight. So if that's you, and even a sense, or God also wants to just encourage you to open the door. Say, Lord, I want to see You. I want to know You in this way. I want to know these things, this rock that I can stand on. When, as Ephesians says, when everything comes against you, having done all to stand, you can stand because you know Your God. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the second bit, it's one of my favorite verses, says, those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. It's that thing, that solid foundation, when you know Your God, when you know this is true. Everything else might pass away, but God is good and He loves me. If that's you tonight, I would like you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. If you're in any of those categories, please don't be shy.